Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. This morning, during my devotions, I was thinking about Esther. It's an account of the very uncivil civil war that occurred in the Persian Empire during the reign of King Ahasuerus, when Esther was his queen. It's about 475 B.C. The prophecy, or message, God gave me from these reflections is of critical importance to Christian patriots today. If you want to understand what is driving us toward an internal war, well, listen up.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I hope you enjoy that little excerpt from Chopin's Revolutionary Etude. Is a civil war coming to America? Even NPR is talking about a coming civil war in America, citing a University of Virginia poll prepared by the Center for Politics showing a deep divide between Trump and Biden supporters. NPR White House watcher Asma Khalid points to that poll, and here are some of the stats that I found in it. Statement: there are many radical, immoral people trying to ruin things. Our society ought to stop them. Biden voters: 65% somewhat agree, 29% strongly agree. Now, this is not an assessment of all voters. It's Biden voters as compared to Trump voters. Got that? Among Trump voters, 83% somewhat agree, and 44% strongly agree. Next statement: if our society so wants, it is the duty of every true citizen to help eliminate the evil that poisons our country from within. Biden voters, 63% somewhat agree, 29% strongly agree. Among Trump supporters, 78% somewhat agree, 35% strongly agree. Next statement: our country needs a powerful leader in order to destroy the radical and immoral currents prevailing in society today. Biden voters, 62% somewhat agree, 26% strongly agree. Trump voters, 82% somewhat agree, 43% strongly agree. Next statement: it would be better for America if whoever is president could take needed actions without being constrained by Congress or the courts. Now, that's a dangerous one, isn't it? And these are disturbing statistics. Biden voters, 46% somewhat agree, 22% strongly agree. Trump supporters, 44% somewhat agree, and 19% strongly agree. About even there. Not even in numbers of voters, but even in the profile of the Biden voter versus Trump voter. Okay, the final statement, and the one that was alluded to by this NPR interview. The situation in America is such that I would favor states seceding from the Union to form their own separate country. Biden voters, 41% somewhat agree, 18% strongly agree. And among Trump voters, 52% somewhat agree, and 25% strongly agree. Now, you can listen to this discussion here, the link I have in my notes. Here's an opinion piece by Hoffman and Ware, writing for CNN. And I don't mention these NPR, CNN, because I consider them bona fide authorities. I mention them because I wanted you to understand these people are talking about this. So CNN has an article, an opinion piece, asking the question, is the United States on the brink of another civil war? And this article begins, 3 months into 2024, it seems dire predictions of political violence are now commonly issued both by the country's extreme fringes as well as from the mainstream. They assert that it's the fault, however, of the, quote, white supremacists, white nationalists, racists, anti-Semites, xenophobes, and anti-government militants, end quote. Of course, who, quote, fervently believe that modern Western liberal state is so corrupt and inept that it is beyond redemption and must be destroyed in order to create a new society and way of governance, end quote. Now, look, I lived in the 60s. I remember the mantra of the kids was basically burn it down so we can rebuild it. And that was coming from the left, friend, not from the conservatives. And there's no mention anywhere in here of the BLM and Antifa burn it down mentality. And that guy walking around a little fire of a flag burning in the middle of the street, chanting something like praise to the chaos god, praise to the chaos god. No, I mean, the whole idea that total destruction of the old paradigm must occur to make way for the new one is an extreme liberal ideology that goes way back. They are blind and deaf to what's really going on. In fact, it's people like these guys, these yahoos who wrote this article. You guys are the ones providing the accelerant to the fire that will burn America to the ground if somebody doesn't douse it with a water of truth. And I think that's the plan on their part. And that last part is the plan on my part. Let's douse the flames with the water of truth. The angst boils down, according to Ron Elving, the guest on this NPR radio show, boils down to a feeling of being displaced or replaced. And this guy wrote a book on it, so he's supposed to know everything about it. Anyway, yeah, displaced and replaced. I think so. When Christian patriots look around them, they no longer recognize their own country. The ideology being promoted by the left is not the ideology of our founding. They're trying to replace us. They've said as much. So this isn't just some, you know, weird paranoid feeling. This is observable. We're watching it happen. For decades, Christians were scorned by the wicked fornicators, adulterers, and sodomites who snidely rebuked us to stay out of our bedrooms, right? That's what they were saying, that no one has anything to say about what goes on in his or her bedroom. And then their favorite mantra, remember this? You can't legislate morality. And we went along with all that. Christians really are a live and let live people. Now, they, and you know who I mean by they, are legislating their immorality. I mean, the same people who were telling us to stay out of the bedroom and telling us you can't legislate morality are now bringing their bedroom out into our classrooms and into our streets, and they're legislating their immorality on us. They put their vile and vulgar behavior on public display all over our media. I mean, in every TV sitcom, virtually every Disney movie nowadays, it's invading many churches too, by the way. We can no longer leave them alone. You know why? Because they won't leave us alone. Now, years ago, I warned that two diametrically opposite value systems could not occupy the same space. People who disagree about where a bridge should be built, well, that's one thing. But disagreeing on something as fundamental as the nature of truth itself, justice and equity, unless we agree on at least a general outline of morality, we will ultimately descend into war. Anyway, I warned years ago that the polarization that I saw then developing would continue until one side or the other would prevail as the dominant moral paradigm within which the people, the culture, would judge right and wrong behavior. Or in other words, the basis by which our judges would rule cases that are set before them, and by which we would approve or disapprove of certain behaviors. The very stuff or the very context within which laws are crafted and created. Polarization can only go so far before society breaks. Either we will snap back to our heritage of traditional Christian-based values, in which case our liberties and freedoms will remain intact for everyone, or the current alternate moral system will prevail, in which case we'll get more of what we're getting now. The whole idea of innocence until proven guilty, that'll be gone. The concept of personal liberty, that's gone. Property rights vanish. Free speech will be a memory. The presumption of parental privilege and rights over their children, kiss that goodbye. There will be no presumed inalienable rights from God. No presumption of a right to life will be secure. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness will not be secure to us. Privacy will vanish. The spirit of tyranny will hold entirely the coercive powers of government, and the people will be oppressed. I mean, imagine the weaponization of government that we're watching right now play out before our eyes against Biden's political enemies, especially Trump. Imagine that being turned in full force against all MAGA Americans. Oh yeah, that's coming. They're already telling us it's coming. Imagine that becoming the norm, where it will escalate from getting a visit from the FBI if you post a derogatory statement about Biden on social media, to you being thrown into jail for expressing disrespect for any government lord. That's the way the Biden government is operating right now against Trump and his supporters. Imagine what it'll be like if that tyrant wins. We are coming to such a snapping point. The Christian patriot is becoming increasingly uncomfortable with the wicked forcing their hedonistic antichrist ideology of Baphomet, of Moloch, and Aphrodite into our faces. We literally can't get away from their bedroom because they have brought their bedrooms into public view, into our children's classrooms, and into our streets. And if we express objections to this wanton sodomizing of our culture, we are treated like enemies of the state, enemies of their freedom, of their right of self-expression. I've warned about this for many years. Special rights invariably produce a scenario in which inalienable universal rights are encroached. It is impossible to give a sodomite, for example, a special right that goes beyond our human rights, where doing so does not end up presenting an encroachment upon the universally held natural rights, inalienable rights of all men. Look, if you argue that a man has a right to identify as a woman, well, you can see what follows. If you extend to them that right, well, then you're obliged, are you not, to honor and submit to their right, right? And now, see how this gets interpreted. You must, therefore, not merely submit to their right to call themselves something other than their biological gender, but you're required to join in the facade into the charade and call them by that pronoun. So you understand? You must therefore, by law now, refer to them according to their preferred gender pronoun, or you're going to get fined or maybe even jailed. What has happened? You see, your universal right of conscience and your own right to have your own opinions, right? Freedom of thought and the free expression of those opinions and thoughts, that now has been abrogated by a special right. The only inalienable rights are those that every human being shares in common. And you will notice that those rights don't encroach upon one another. All right? Our inalienable universal rights, when exercised, never interfere with anyone's exercise of their universal or inalienable right. That only happens when someone is made into a special privileged class are assigned to some special privileged class and then given special rights aimed at protecting the special limited interests of a particular class of people. Now, folks, that's just wrong, and you can never do that without destroying the concept of individual personal liberty. So back to the point here. We're talking about what differentiates these two groups that are, you know, polarizing to the place maybe where we'll get into a dropping the gloves and going into fisticuffs kind of thing. All right, these heathen, hedonistic, vulgar, and vile people, they bring their bedrooms out into public. We keep ours private, all right? And we could tolerate this if they kept their bedrooms private, but they don't. Their glory is literally in their shame, as the Bible says in Philippians. So they have not been content to keep their perverse, diseased, and vulgar behavior in their bedrooms. They want to put it on public display. They have not merely opened the door to invite us in, right? They are forcing our children to be exposed to their vulgar lifestyle. The influence of their public behavior threatens our children, and that's where we draw the line. The division that is coming to a head in America is illustrated by the memes I see, depicting, for example, John Wayne or Cary Grant, next to a picture of some dude dressed like, what would have been called queer or scorned as a fairy kind of thing a decade ago. And then you see a caption over this comparison that says, from then to now, something has gone terribly wrong. Well, I would certainly agree, and that's the difference. We would agree with that. They would not. What separates us from them can be seen in the multitude of videos of some mother twerking in the face of her baby. I saw what my wife showed me of this lady twerking in her baby's face. The baby couldn't have been more than about 1 year old. I have a whole array of links in my footnotes here of examples of this going on all over the country. And I thought it must be an isolated case. I found out that it's not. This is trending behavior, friend. I've included one that's gone viral, interestingly, because in this one, the son, the mother's son, who is a bit older, probably 10, maybe 12, he's watching his mother twerk all over this other guy, and he walks over in disgust, and he pushes his mother away from the whoremonger. And looking, you know, if you looked at this video, and I would encourage you to do that one, to look at that one. The others, maybe not. But it will break your heart to see the confusion, the anger, the disgust that's evident in the face of this young boy. I wept. And the insulted behavior of the man, if you want to call it that, will make you want to slap his face, or slap his wicked face, or go find a barf bag. But you would restrain yourself. You see, you wouldn't slap somebody. You wouldn't commit assault, you're right? Because you're a Christian patriot. Really? You certainly would not behave like a federal prosecutor I saw recently in a video who handled J6 cases, by the way, and who helped jail these violent trespassers, right? Many of these people are only there because they trespassed, not because of any act of violence they perpetrated. Some who were waved in by the Capitol Police, by the way, in violation of their due process afforded to every American, unless you're called a terrorist, but branded a terrorist by Pelosi and company. Anyway, this guy, this man, Patrick Douglas Scruggs, who put J6ers into jail, was caught on video stabbing a man multiple times on video on a public freeway on a bridge there in Florida, stabbing this guy repeatedly. With a knife, right? I mean, multiple times in a rage because the guy swerved into his lane and bent his fender. Yeah, you can watch this right here and read the corroborating documentation that proves out who this guy is. Now, this is for real, my friend. This guy who put J6ers in the Biden, Pelosi, Obama, Hillary gulag as a political prisoner goes berserker on the freeway here on a bridge in Florida and assaults a man with a knife while going out of his mind in rage. It's unbelievable. I should mention, by the way, he's out on bail. Yeah. He got a video of the guy doing this and he's out on bail. First offense, you know, we're told. Yeah, kind of like that J6 grandmother, right? That Biden's DOJ is pursuing with threats of prison time. I think it's their way of trying to beat a confession out of her. God in heaven, we've lost our liberties. Anyway, it's easy to see what differentiates us from them. They include mothers like this twerking jerk of a mother shaking her behind in her son's face, literally. Now, juxtapose that in your mind to the mother, many of them, showing up at a school board meeting dressed modestly and expressing natural affection for her children and a desire to protect them with clear moral understanding and genuine concern. And she's reading to these board members from books that particular board approved for school libraries. And in some cases, the mother is reading an assignment her child brought home from a class taught in the school by teachers who are salaried with our tax dollars, by the way. And then these mothers are being told by the board, the material you're reading is not appropriate to be read in public, in this public meeting. Can you believe that? But it's not too obscene to be in the school library without age restrictions to check it out? Are you kidding me? These kids can't even go into a theater to watch an R-rated movie unaccompanied by a parent or guardian. Are these people insane? No, they're not insane. They are just simply wicked and perverted. These people have no conscience. Their conscience is seared by the hot iron of their cursed and damned soul. They have no natural affection, and they need to be reproved for this. They have no intuitive understanding of what is appropriate because they have repudiated the Christian influences that shaped our culture from its founding. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, this is what most notably illustrates the difference between them and us. It's a morality break, friend. That's how Jesus explained this phenomenon. People refuse the light because they love darkness, and they love darkness because their deeds are evil. And by the way, that's coming from Jesus, right? I think he knows what he's talking about. You see that in John 3:17-21. They are children of disobedience, and they love rulers of darkness because they love darkness and hate light. We are the children of obedience. We love and are attracted to the light. They operate under the influence and even the control of the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, serving the prince of the power of the air, which is, of course, Satan. We operate, on the other hand, under the influence and control of the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit of truth. His spirit moves through us into the world. That's what Jesus planned. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of truth. And as Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Put this together, friend. You have in you the source of freedom and liberty. But you must be filled with the Spirit and be willing to deliver the reproof of the Spirit to this world that lieth in wickedness. When you speak the truth to the lie, you are assaulting the stronghold Satan uses to hold California and this country in darkness. And that is fundamentally the difference between us and them. The ideological differences are immense. To be sure, the Marxist anti-God political theories that dominate the left certainly concern us, as, for example, the repudiation of traditional American values such as the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, and the rule of law, and other values like truth, justice, and we used to follow that with the American way. But what has emerged out of this break from God that has exacerbated these tensions that could very well trigger the civil war, I think the left is calling for. Yeah, I think they're angling for this. It's the same thing that triggered the first civil war, a divide in morality. It's a moral divide. Back then, the morality divide over slavery finally broke into a war between Americans. Today, it's a morality divide over the sexualization of our children. Simply put, we do not believe it's appropriate to put a woman's derriere in the faces of our kids or to push the life-threatening homosexual lifestyle into the minds and hearts of our children by sitting them before drag queens and presenting this material to them in their curriculum. We don't cotton to that, just like we don't cotton to slavery. The wicked perversity of a hedonistic culture is quite literally being forced onto our children. And that's driving this country into an irreconcilable divide. Yeah, like the moral differences on the issue of slavery finally provided the basis for our first civil war. You know, I guess we too in our generation have grown apart. It's time to what? Divorce over irreconcilable differences? To separate before the fire of divine wrath falls, lest we all burn with Sodom? All of this is a symptom of the general breakdown of morality in America. It has reached a tipping point where American culture is being pushed, and I mean pushed, into the maw of hell. The powers behind this are the powers of darkness. The rulers of this world's darkness have targeted America for destruction. That's because America has been a Christian nation, and we are in their way. Christian patriot, you are commanded to wrestle against these powers. That's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say you're supposed to assist them. The Bible says you are to resist them. Now, here's the deal. We need some Mordecais to encourage the bride to petition the king to grant us the right of self-defense, and let's pray we can overcome this enemy with the self-defense of ballots and not bullets. More on that on the other side. I'll be right back.
Every day, we see proof of the wisdom of our founders. We've acknowledged the right of unbelievers to make their own choice for or against Christ. But see how they're not content that we should make room for their rebellion? Daily, they attempt to force us to join them in it. They would force us to teach our children the life-threatening lifestyle of the Sodomites. They force us to fund the atrocity of baby murder. We have acknowledged it's their choice to receive or rebel against Christ, but they have used that freedom to take away our liberties. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I went long in the first segment. I'll summarize my prophecy or message from Esther. First, understand that the Old Testament was written for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. And by the way, I've got scriptures in all the footnotes here to back up all of these statements, okay? When we bring an insight from the Old Testament intended for us today, we must understand it in the light and context of New Testament truth. The bride of King Ahasuerus was Esther, and Ahasuerus was king over the realm of Persia. Today, the only king over the entire earth is Jesus Christ, and his bride is the church. His church has the keys of the kingdom, and each believer is made a king and priest unto God. So we stand in the place of Esther, and Christ Jesus stands in the place of Ahasuerus. In Esther's day, the wicked Haman worked to foment hatred in the hearts of the Gentiles, the heathen, against the Jews, their neighbors. Today, wicked Biden, Hillary, and Obama work to foment division between MAGA Americans and their neighbors. Biden is doing all he can to encourage hatred and fear on the part of his voters against MAGA patriots. Remember the Nazi-esque speech, you know, with the red banners and the soldiers behind him? Yeah. And all the fear-mongering and hate provocation that's going on from the left right now against MAGA patriots, in order, I think, partly to provoke some aggressive action from MAGA patriots they can use as a justification to brand all of us terrorists and come after us. We're living in difficult times, my friends. Don't fall for that trick. Stay peaceful. Anyway, Mordecai was a very godly man. He raised Esther and had a significant influence on her life. When the plot to perpetrate genocide against the Jewish people was discovered, Mordecai went to Esther and encouraged her to inform the king about the plot and to petition the king to allow the Jews to defend themselves. While she was afraid and balked at the advice, Mordecai warned her that she would not escape and said that if she failed to act, God would raise up deliverance from some other place, but she would be held accountable. Esther, to her credit, bravely obeyed, and you know the story. Her appeal to the king was accepted. Wicked Haman was hung on his own gallows, the gallows he built for Mordecai, and the people were given the right of self-defense. Many of the foolish and wicked people attempted to go ahead and attack the Jews anyway, but God was with the Jews, and their enemies were destroyed. So here's the thing. We need some godly Mordecais to challenge the true churches to petition the only King of Kings and ask for clemency, mercy, grace, and pity, to repent of our fear and inattention to our responsibilities in the past, to be a source of light and salt, as we're supposed to be, to secure the truth to its pillar, the church, and to speak truth, which makes us free, and to live in the Spirit, with the Spirit flowing through us, for where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. You're the answer. And the church must dedicate herself to sincere and fervent and humble prayer. As I took the call and began praying on behalf of our church, Jesus answered and reminded me that he is indeed king over all the earth and that he has instructed us to take a sword for self-defense. He instructed his disciples, remember, that in his absence, they would have to care for some things they didn't have to worry about before. And included among those things, this, the provision of a sword for self-defense. The Jews did not attack the Persian government of Ahasuerus. They legally defended themselves. Our Creator gives us, and our Constitution acknowledges, the inalienable right of self-defense. This comes by edict from our King, our inalienable right endowed to us by God. Now be prepared, and let's pray that we can defeat these wicked and unreasonable usurpers at the ballot box. And if they attack us with bullets, well, let's be prepared to defend ourselves. Where is Mordecai? I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net, and find the contact button. Send me an email. You can leave me a message in our listener response hotline. Dial 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. God help us save California. And I'll see you in church.